What's up, everybody? Welcome back to WTC Plus. That, of course, is the Weighted Pod created by us. I'm Pierre Camus. With me is Nicholas Gott. He is not Burt Reynolds, and I am the Roto Chef. We represent Rotoballer, and you may have caught some of our other episodes. If you haven't, do it now. We'll wait. All right, welcome back. So here we go with... Yeah, that seemed like it was just a moment in time. So you may have heard there's this thing. It's a global pandemic, and it kind of stopped sports dead in its track. Nick, have you heard of this? It's this Corona something?
Yeah, people are getting sick and hoarding toilet paper is pretty much all I know. It's everywhere. It's affecting everything. It's going to keep affecting everything. And, putting sports aside, it is terrible. And hopefully it will pass as soon as possible. But it does have ramifications on the sport that we are assuming will come back. So we're going to talk about that instead of trying to have a medical discussion, which I feel like would go really poorly.
Yeah, we're not going to talk details of the crisis itself. We are definitely not the source that you want. Not that we're not smart guys, but please go to science and medical professionals for that. Get your source from places that aren't social media. Maybe the World Health Organization, CDC, not Facebook.
Good one. That's another good one.
Yeah. Not your neighbor's cousin's, grandpa. No.
He doesn't know anything.
Yeah. But we're here to talk baseball because, you know what? The baseball season will start eventually. Fantasy, it's still draft season. So, you know what? We're going to talk about the fact that now that spring training has been canceled until further notice and the season has been delayed. As of right now, it's 2 weeks. Could be longer. We really don't know, right? There is no opening day as of yet. But the fact is the season will not start on time. What does this mean for fantasy? Besides the fact that we have more time to talk about it, but the fact that we're going to start later, who's a riser, who's a faller, who could this affect maybe in a good or bad way? So let's start out with talking about guys who actually may benefit from the layoff. And of course, that would be players that are injured and on the mend and weren't going to be ready for the start of the season anyways. So who could actually benefit? And chances are, you're talking about the later rounds, it's not as big a deal. Nick, who's the first one that comes to your mind? You think, well, you know what? I'm not going to maybe knock this guy as far down in my rankings as I would have.
For me, it's Eugenio Suarez, Red Slugger, who had the off-season accident, had to get some loose bodies out of his shoulder. And, in general, every player that is injured is hurt or is helped by the layoff. Like, you get those couple extra weeks or whatever. So in the larger picture, yeah, everyone is helped a little bit, but I think different guys are helped a little bit more. And Suarez was, they were still saying that he was going to be ready for opening day, but you know how that is. So, you're still going to worry that he's going to miss some time. But more than that, with it being a shoulder injury and him being a power hitter, you always worry. So those couple extra weeks, I think it's unlikely we see baseball before May 1st, personally, just because the NBA is leading the pack on this and setting the precedent. And I find it hard to believe the NBA is going to say, we're not playing until May 1st. And Major League Baseball says on April 14th, we are going to play. So for him, it's now I'm seeing the beginning of the season. I'm assuming, my draft value on Suarez is, basically pre-injury for me because he's getting an extra time. I think as soon as he's going to be able to hit the ground with the power he had before and not have to get back adjusted.
Yeah, we did talk about him. It was a couple of weeks ago we did when we were evaluating different guys who were injured. And he's one that we were worried about just because of the nature of where it was the shoulder area. And that's somebody for a power hitter could be affected. And this definitely helps, not going to lie. I did knock him down too much, I think, in my rankings, but he might go back to where he was about, maybe 50, 60 overall, that kind of range. Where I probably knocked him down closer to 80 or 90, I think, originally. So Now, talking about power hitters, also there's a pair of Yankees that are just always on the shelf. Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton. I think if you've ever owned Stanton before in your life, other than that 1 year where we won MVP.
What an amazing year.
Well, that one, we'll always have that year. But if you ever owned him last year or the year before, then yeah, you don't care about this. But does this help Stanton, who it's not a serious injury, it's a calf thing. Judge, I was a little more worried about because it's a rib injury and they're just talking about surgery and all that. So what's your take on those two? Because, I mean, for me, honestly, I'm kind of in the camp of what I was talking about with Stanton is like, I don't care. I'm not going to touch him anyways, regardless of how late he falls. But with Judge, this definitely would help.
Yeah, and, you know, this goes back to what I was saying before. In general, this helps everyone who's injured. But I'm with you, man. I'm not drafting Giancarlo Stanton unless he really falls. And even then, like, I don't know what it would take, just because I know what's coming. Like, yeah, he gets a couple more extra weeks to heal, but he's still going to hurt it again. I mean, if Vegas had a bet on how many times he'll go into DL this year with that same calf injury, I'm going to take the over no matter what they say, because he has proven that he doesn't just get the one injury and then it heals and then he's fine. He gets the injury and then he re-injures it and then he has a setback and then he comes back for a while and hits 20 home runs and then he finishes the season on the disabled list. So I'm not touching him. Judge, on the other hand, I've never been the biggest Judge believer. He doesn't stay on the field long enough. Once again, he's usually amazing when he does. And the mysteriousness of this rib injury, the fact that, you know, the Yankees come out and say that, yeah, he did this 4 months ago, but he's just going to need a couple more weeks. That doesn't make any sense. Like, you've had like over four, like 5 months. We need two more weeks and it's going to be all good. I don't trust that situation at all. So he's, once again, you know, I would take him before I would take Stanton, because I'm never going to draft Stanton. But I would take Judge if he falls, because it's a really nice discount if you can get it. And these extra weeks are nice if the Yankees are telling the truth that he only needed a couple more weeks rest. But that situation just doesn't seem clear enough for me to spend a really high value pick on him.
Yeah, and that's the weird thing is, in general, obviously I trust Stanton less too, but I trust that injury less. It's a rib injury. I mean, anybody who's ever had an injured rib, that's one of the most painful things, and that's obviously going to affect everything he does with his swing. I mean, for someone who relies on their power, yeah, I'm probably not touching either one, because somebody will draft them before I will. Like, I don't know how late they would have to fall.
Definitely.
It's not going to happen, right? Somebody's going to say, oh, I get them at a discount, so not me. Let's talk about these pitchers. We got Verlander, who suddenly, just when you thought you could trust one of these starting pitchers, right before all this happened, talk about how he's not going to be ready for opening day. And talk about someone who's been injured for a longer time, but Mike Clevinger, who now looks like maybe he shouldn't be falling at all in terms of ADP.
Yeah, kind of the same thing with, you know, I don't put Clevinger quite in the same class as Suarez. Like, I'm still going to ding him some just because it's a knee injury, had surgery. Like, I was very confident about around when Suarez was going to get back on the field. I just wasn't sure about what kind of Suarez we were getting at the beginning. Clevinger, I hope that he is on the timeline they say. You know, they said it was just a partial meniscus tear and that it's, you know, it's a 6 to 8 week timeline, but you don't know for sure. And so, but he's, once again, I really like Clevinger. I liked him going in this year. I was really bummed out about the knee injury. So I'm not moving him quite up to his pre-injury ranking, because I had him really high. I had him, Jack Flaherty and Blake Snell, basically in the same, you know, tight little grouping. So I'm going to put, you know, he's going to be behind those two guys for me. But yeah, I think the time off's definitely going to help him.
For Clevenger, I have him pretty much back to where, close to where I had it before the injury, because, you know, I think it's reassuring to see that, like, after last year, his injury, he came back strong, you know, just strong as ever. He didn't seem to miss a beat. And this, again, assuming that it's just what they say it is and there's no aggravation, that shouldn't really affect him. I mean, if we don't start till May 1st, I mean, he's beating that timeline, and it's as almost as if nothing's ever happened in my mind. So
yeah.
I'm pretty optimistic there. Verlander, obviously up there a little bit more in age. Maybe we're a little less optimistic there.
Much less so. I am probably not going to draft Justin Verlander anymore until we get some more information. It's a lat injury. It is. I've read some media out of Detroit whenever it happened that it's the pain he was describing was very similar to the series of injuries he had in 2015 when he had 133 innings pitched, went on the disabled list a couple of times, same area. He admits that it's similar injury, but says, oh, it's not as bad as it was then. But then it was one of those injuries that lingered, and he tried to just kept lingering and hurt all season. One of the things about this delay in playing is that, yeah, the players are still working out and they're still doing baseball things, but the information is down to a trickle. We're not seeing on the field action. So I don't think we're going to hear a lot of truthful things about what is going on with Justin Verlander's injury. And his ADP hasn't fallen that much. Like, you're still going to have to pay a really high price for him, and I just don't know if I'm going to pay it.
That's a great point, because with Clevenger, he had fallen quite a bit, rightfully so, and now maybe you can get him around cheaper than you would before, but with Verlander, no, that's not happening. You know, obviously some people will be a little wary, but it doesn't seem like anybody's taken this too seriously yet, because they're just, you know, he wasn't given a definitive timeline, right? It's not like with Clevenger, we say, oh, 6 to 8
yeah.
weeks, and that's actually worse, right? People are saying, well, that's okay. Mm-hmm. We don't, you know, maybe he just wasn't going to make his first start, but yeah, that's not necessarily so. And then before we move on from injured players, I have to mention, does this make Griffin Canning draftable now? I mean, we could take a chance, right?
Oh yeah. Well, absolutely. I mean, you should definitely take a chance.
Okay. Just say yes and we'll move on.
Yeah. Yes.
All right. Now let's talk about some, well, I don't know if it's better news, but not injured guys, but guys who are making a case to hopefully either make the team or win a job. So some position battles that we've been looking at are now on hold. And to be determined, we don't know what's going to happen because there's no more playing it out to see who wins the jobs. Took a look at a couple of these, not anything major, of course, but let's see, what do you think is going to happen? Because again, spring training is over. There's no more stats to look at. So a guy I was interested in, I actually picked late in TGFBI, is Carter Kaboom. And he's battling veteran Asdrubal Cabrera in Washington for the third base job. Now, Kaboom didn't do too well when he was brought up last year, but definitely a talented prospect. Cabrera, of course, we know what he can do. What's going to happen here? Do you think they're going to lean towards youth, or do you think they're just going to, you know, give him a little more seasoning in the minors?
Yeah, this is, you know, like we've talked in another pod about Austin Riley. This is, Boom is someone I think was really hurt by spring training being over. And I just think situations like this, they are going to default to the veteran more. I like Kaboom quite a bit. I just traded for him in my oldest league, and I thought I was drafting like he was going to win the job, but now I don't know. He's depending on the. I don't think you have, depending on the deepness of your league. Like, I don't think you have to draft him, but I have a feeling that a Asdrubal Cabrera just end up getting that job at least first.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. And you know, Kaboom, that guy, I mean, you have to see if he can actually handle it this time around, because obviously didn't do too well last year, but definitely has the upside. Your league that you're talking about, that's a points league though, correct?
Yeah, and you know, it was one of those things where we're in the middle of our draft, and we use real life salaries, and I had spent too much and had too much pitching, and knew a guy like Lance Lynn, so traded, got some salary relief, some cash, and Lynn for Kaboom was just like the one guy I could get off his roster that wasn't that had some upside. I have someone to play third base, but he's just, you know, if he doesn't do anything, that's great. But I really liked him last year. I had him on a number of teams last year, and then he just fizzled. But I, you know, the path of a prospect is not always linear, and you know, people that got burnt by using a lot of fab on him last year may stay away this year. And I get, like you said, you got him with a late pick. I like him as a flyer, or at least a guy to keep an eye on, but I think he's really hurt by the layoff.
No. And yeah. And I'm just thinking, like, in a points league, I might prefer him long-term, assuming playing time, you know, turns out the same, which it won't, but just cause you know, he's got a good hit tool and the plate discipline's there a little bit more so than Cabrera, but in a roto league might like Cabrera better because of the power, right? He probably has more power upside. Mm-hmm. So interesting to watch though. Now we didn't talk about the Braves third base situation because we already did that in another podcast. So check out our deep sleepers, spoiler alert, Austin Riley's one, but here our take on that battle. Let's talk about another young player in the infield. The Cubs second base job is up for grabs. Nico Hoerner, a pretty good prospect, does have a chance to win it, or at least he did. Who knows what's going to happen now? But then you also have guys like David Bote, who's been there. Descalso's kind of a Swiss Army knife kind of guy. And Jason Kipnis still lurks. He's there, but maybe didn't have enough time to show that he still has legs. But what do you think is going to happen there? Again, is this a case where you know, youth is going to lose out because of spring training getting cut short?
Yeah, once again, somewhat, but this situation is, I don't think it hurts any one player more. It just, this was a situation that needed to be shook out in spring training. And, you know, Nico Hoerner is only going to be a nice fantasy asset if he gets the full-time job. Like all the guys you just mentioned, if it's going to be a playtime shuffling situation, you're not going to want to roster any of them. But if Nico Hoerner gets, you know, had won himself a job, then yeah, he becomes fantasy relevant. He's got a nice batting average. You know, and he's got a little bit of a pop, I guess. I think he probably has a leg up on the competition. There's a lot of talk of, you know, he's got the right makeup for a baseball player and a leader, and they really like him a lot in those areas, which unfortunately we do not score in any fantasy league I am in. But this is just one of those. I'll keep an eye on things, but I don't think anyone out of that group is going to come away and earn yourself too many fantasy dollars.
Yeah. I mean, it could be, we really don't care in the end who wins that job. You know, I have to think that maybe Bote gets a little bit of an advantage being that he's been there. They didn't get to see enough Hoerner, of course, a higher upside maybe, but yeah, maybe in the end it doesn't really matter. So moving on to a position that maybe, I don't know, could matter. It's the Royals, though, is their first base job. And we had Ryan O'Hearn and Ryan McBroom, Battle of the Ryans. Do we care about this one?
I really liked Ryan O'Hearn last year. It just is like a, you know, for daily moves league, just where you can afford to only hit him against right-handers because he mashed right-handers. And so you're like, if you can afford to switch him in and out, then he was looking, you know, he was a popular little sleeper pick in 2019. And then he was just bad. He hit right-handers like he hit left-handers. He had a 195 average, and just, you know, unownable. Still hit 14 home runs and 370 plate appearances, though. So he's got the pop. But now he has competition. If he wins the job, sure. if he goes back to hitting right-handers like he did in 2018, yeah, he's a, you know, in a deeper league, I'd look at him, especially if I can stream him daily. But once again, you don't want to mess with too many Royals as it is, just in general.
Yeah, but I feel like half of our voids are Royals. You know, like Merrifield and Mondesi, they're saying stay away. So I think it would be kind of tough for us to recommend going for whoever we don't know is going to win the first base job. That doesn't really jive.
Yeah. You know, and, you know, you cannot underestimate the Mike Mussina factor and just how not very good he is at managing. Saw it firsthand a lot here in St.
Spoken
Louis.
Spoken like a Cardinals fan.
he is so annoying. Anyone likes more advanced stats in baseball and just like less like caveman thinking on things, I promise you, also dislikes Mike Matheny, and he is just going to the perfect team. They're gonna love him in Kansas City, and they're just gonna continue to be mediocre. I can't wait.
All right. Tell us where you're from again. All right.
No St. Louis bias at all. Actually, it's more disliking Matheny than disliking the Royals. He was just watching and listening to a lot of Cardinals games, just a very frustrating manager to watch make horrible decisions with his bullpen.
Gotcha. You know, just to be fair, I went to Kansas City last summer. Super nice people. I mean, just the nicest.
Very.
But the Royals are going to still suck. So let's go on to pitching. And we have to talk about the Yankees rotation. And it's basically all up for grabs because every single Yankee starter is hurt. You probably knew that. So does this help or hurt in any way? Who do you think is going to have not just possibly a rotation spot here, so from what we saw so far in the spring, but fantasy potential? Of course, they all have potential. But we got Jordan Montgomery. We got Jonathan Osiega. I get it. We have Davey Garcia. We have Clark Schmidt, maybe. Who am I missing?
Hey, that's all of them, right?
Probably.
Anyone injured in the past 24 hours? Probably. No.
Injured during self-quarantine. No.
That's the thing. That's the underestimated silver lining about all of this, is all of the silly baseball injuries you know are coming during this layoff, where people just get lost to ridiculous things.
Yeah. Like, you literally have no excuse to hurt, but you will get hurt anyways. Yeah.
Jordan Montgomery is, you know, he went from, you know, one of the guys battling for the fifth rotation spot to, when Severino went down after Paxton, he's kind of looks like he's locked into the fourth spot. He is a very trendy, popular pick right now. I've grabbed him on a number of teams, has four pitches, can control four pitches, just hasn't been able to pitch. You know, he's missed almost two full years now after Tommy John. So he is a guy I really like, very fantasy relevant, someone you're going to get at a very low price and could turn out to return like number three starter value. The fifth spot is, a lot shakier. You know, right now, you know, Roster Resource has Losiaga right now in the lead. The diminutive flamethrower, Devi Garcia, was going to be said to have a chance at winning the spot. And that's probably your biggest, like I said, I like Montgomery a lot, but if you're looking for like a hot prospect that could come up and light some fools up, then Garcia is your guy. He just posted ridiculous strikeout rates last year in the minors. Slowed down a little bit when he got to AAA, but if and when he comes up in rotation, he has the strikeout numbers that are going to get a lot of people's attention.
There you go. And I'd say that makes the most sense. Like you said, Montgomery, seems to have a rotation spot pretty much locked down, had a pretty strong spring. I would think then the final spot they would give to Los Yaga, let the youngsters maybe wait a little longer. You know, we're tempted just anybody in a Yankee uniform to say, oh, he's fantasy upside. I think we have to be careful with the pitchers a little bit more, especially these young guys. But
yeah,
worth a shot. And then the last pitcher I want to talk about, King Felix. He's back on the map, baby, and he's looking good. Is he going to actually win a rotation spot? And should we care that he's in Atlanta now? Because he looked pretty horrible the last couple of years. Or what about Sean Newcomb, guy who I once may or may not have predicted to be the next Blake Snell?
I've liked Newcomb myself before, so I feel your pain there. He could probably win the job. I'm not going to draft Felix Hernandez. I think I've kind of thought he was lost for a couple years now. So he has been on my teams for a minute. Newcomb is, like I said, I'm interested in Newcomb. I thought he was going to be very, very good out of this pipeline of Braves pitchers. So if he ends up winning the job, then yeah, I'll take some flyers on Newcomb. But if Felix gets the veteran nod to get that last spot, it's not going to hold my fancy at all, because I think he's just box some more.
Yeah, and it's crazy because I saw this online and I did have to go check it myself because I didn't believe it. But Felix Hernandez is only 33. I swore he was at least 58 years old. Seems like he's been around forever. But
is that possible?
I don't know. I thought he was up there with like Phil Negro, but I don't know. He's 33. He shouldn't be. But look at it. I mean, sorry to say, last year his fastball
years in 2005.
Wow. But 640 ERA, his fastball velocity was in the 9th percentile, fastball spin the 12th percentile, his K rate in the 14th percentile, exit velocity 1st percentile. Just to clarify, all this is bad. His ex-WOBA 4th percentile, okay. So I guess he has nowhere to go but up, but I'm really
no way
for Newcomb. I mean, hey, nothing against the king himself. You know, like him personally, but I'm not touching with a 20-foot pole. So,
yeah, no way.
The last topic we want to talk about here is pitching itself. So much has been made this preseason coming into 2020 that, you know, the age of the 200-inning pitcher is over, right? Aces are more valuable than ever. And, of course, now that everybody's hurt, the guys who are at the top are so valuable. We have to take DeGrom and Scherzer and, well, it used to be Verlander, but, you know, Cole and those guys, they have to be first rounders and you have to get your ace early. The fact that we might have a month missing from this season, we don't know if it's going to be shortened or delayed or what, but it's possible, right? It's possible. Does this devalue those aces? And should we not worry so much about getting that top guy, especially when they keep getting hurt anyways?
Yeah, you know, it does for me. I've already, you know, pre all of this, I had already been pivoting towards some pitching heavy drafts just because everyone, it was just pitchers, it was just blood in the water. And those first three rounds, like every draft I've been in, people have just went pitching crazy. And I've just kind of doing some zagging. And so I've already been going hitter heavy, and with this delay and with missing time, I think that brings the rest of the pack up to those elite 200 inning guys a little bit more, you know, not a ton more, but it kind of squeezes everyone together. It, you know, you look at guys that you thought about what were going, you know, were popular, but were going to be on somewhat of an innings limit. Chris Paddock, you know, the most elite of that group, does that bring him up back to a level? Because you weren't worried about his per inning for success. You were worried about how many innings he was going to get. And now that field is leveled some. So this non-science, non-statistics, but pitchers are fickle creatures. And I just don't know how they're going to handle having their schedules upset for this long. and playing and then not playing and then playing again. And I hope this isn't the year of just a rash of random pitcher injuries, because I love pitchers the most. But all this has done is made me kind of dig into my hitter heavy approach that I've been doing this draft season anyway. So I'm probably going to keep that up.
Yeah, if there was ever a season to try out JB's bullpen method, patent pending, this is the year, right? Get those guys who can rack up
K's. Yeah, definitely. And,
you know, help your ratios. We've talked about this in the past. We like guys like Pomerantz, Lugo, you know, Nick Anderson. Whether they're closer or not closer, I find myself leaning towards like Aaron Bummer in several leagues. He's a guy who, you know, could pick up a few saves, could win the job, but I don't care because he's still going to get me some strikeouts. He's still going to help my ratios, you know. So especially if you're not in a league that has an innings minimum, I mean, why not, right? So
yeah, definitely.
This has been an interesting topic, talking about potential risers and fallers based on the fact that the season is just not starting. But you know what? Better times are ahead, right? I mean, it's going to start sometime. We're all going to be okay. We're going to get through this with the help of Rotoballer, because you're going to read about fantasy draft analysis for another month, right? Why not?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right, Nick, I'm going to give you a chance before we sign off here to shamelessly plug your points tools, because if they haven't seen our episode on how to win points leagues, then they're missing out.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we are leading a points charge at Rotobar and doing a lot of new original content just to, you know, help the long-suffering plight of the points player that hasn't had very many resources at their disposal unless they want to make their own resources. So we're trying to correct that. And so we've had, had a series out. The gist of it is that every platform you're going to play on is so different with their default settings that it's very hard to do general points analysis. You really have to do point scoring system specific analysis we are doing. So we have separate covers for ESPN and Yahoo and CBS, Fantrax, NFBC, and it's, as the articles, it's based around our points ranker tool, which if you find any of my articles lately on Rotoballer, that's what I'm talking about. And it's just a tool that, you know, you can look at ESPN's default settings and not just what they're projected to score using Nick Mariano's expert rankings, but also how position and roster construction is going to affect how much they're worth and get points above replacement and what they're going to score, their rates of scoring for innings and plate appearances, and just really lets you easily dig into each platform and see, you know, just where the deals, and more importantly, besides the deals, like where the hardcore avoids are. Like if you play an ESPN, you cannot draft Trey Turner. You definitely cannot draft Mondesi. These are guys that what they're going to score and what they're worth is so vastly far away from their site ADPs and also what their site rankings are saying where you should draft. So we try to point out those things. Like, don't ruin your draft by drafting Ronald McCune in the first round when he's going to be a top 25-ish player, just like he was last year. That's what we're doing. You can go to Rotoballer, sign up. Lots of articles, lots of content. We have the new premium points ranker tool, and we have a lot more stuff coming out. So baseball's on pause right now. I am not, I'm still updating all the spreadsheets right now and getting tools up with, you know, we're not trying to guess where, when the baseball season is going to start, but we do have new projections with taking into account the Verlander injury and the Judge news and the other top guys. So check it out.
Yeah, good point, because the season's on hold, but we're not taking a break. We're updating our rankings this very week, we're just tightening everything up and make sure we have all the latest, most accurate rankings, as always, for you guys. So check it out. If you haven't subscribed yet to this channel, do it now. Thank you. And check out our draft kit. If you don't already have access, do it now. Extra 10% off if you enter promo code CHEF. Tell them I sent you. But make sure you enter the promo code, because that's actually how you get the discount. All right, guys. Thanks for watching and listening.